This is Jaguars.com Live presented by Everbank. JP Shadrick with you from the rubber hallway at Everbank Field. You're looking inside the South Locker Room where Blake Bortles will address the media, a regular Wednesday occurrence right here on Jaguars.com. We'll have it for you live coming up a little bit earlier than normal today. Glad you're with us. Jaguars this week, of course, trying to find some consistency on offense. We'll have Marquise Lee. He might have a hand in that coming up. Jaguars wide receiver will join us on set coming up. And home sweet home for the holidays. The Jaguars are playing at Everbank Field for the first time in over a month on Sunday. And we're joined by Jaguars.com senior writer John Osier. You can get it on the show, of course, at Jaguars, at JP Shadrick, at John Osier. Let's start with the offense. That's going to be the biggest note today after Gus Bradley's press conference on Monday talking about Bortles' plays so far and what to expect moving forward. You're going to hear from Bortles and Jed Fish today.
Well, and they've got to get something. They haven't been able to score points when they've been down close. They haven't had the consistency that you need, and they haven't played as well as maybe they did a month ago. So it's going to be a lot of questions toward Blake and toward Jed about, you know, what do you do? What do these last five games hold? We talked last week about the last six games being important. All of a sudden that clock's ticking, and now you've got four or five games to get some kind of consistency going. Clock's running out.
It's really one of the strongest that we've heard Gus Bradley talk about that position. He flat out said he's got to play better.
Right. Well, and it is time. You know, at some point you can't come into that press conference every week and just sort of going around it. Blake has to play better. I don't know that realistically, as I've said, he's not going to take a tremendous jump up to a Pro Bowl level in these last five games. Some of that improvement is going to come in the offseason when you have a chance to reset, when you have a chance to sort of take a breath and say, okay, here are some big picture things I need to do. Here are some mechanical things I need to work on. But he can improve just some of the things, maybe getting back to where he was three or four games ago. And it's such a difficult process because the league moves so fast on the field and even during the week that it's tough to get that reset and sort of get your mind calmed down and say, okay, here's what I've got to do. But that's really the charge. That's the mission in the last four or five games starting this week.
You'll hear a lot from Jed Fish today. There's a lot of folks asking about play calling this week. Well, he's the guy that calls the plays.
Yep.
And I'm sure there'll be some pointed questions his way today.
Well, there will. And, you know, when your offense scores 3 points and when it doesn't score in the red zone in the week before and when you're 31st in the league, you're going to get questions. You know, and a lot of it is about why don't you throw more downfield? Why don't you have more big plays? Because the defense is really bunching up on this offense right now. When you watch this offense play, you do get the feeling they're not going to go downfield. That allows teams to put 7 or 8 men in the box. Now, the opposite side of that is when you're having trouble protecting, it's awfully hard to take those 5 or 7 drops, or now 5 or 7 step drops, and go deep. So that's really the dilemma, and that's what Jed's got to figure out is how to get the offense into plays. Are there plays that can work against that? That's why you make a lot of money as coordinator, because those are the dilemmas you have to deal with. So that's what he's going to hear, and that's what they got to figure out. And the question really becomes, can it get fixed in the rest of the season? In the last couple of games, it hasn't looked like it, but that's going to be the storyline as you go forward in this season.
So I think that's the thing folks are so concerned about. It looked okay a few weeks ago. The
right.
run game was there. There was a little bit of something going offensively. But
well, what happens
in Dallas
is,
and then after the bye, it hasn't been right.
As you get, you know, people say, and writing this week, well, they've taken away what they do well. And, of course, the punchline to that is, well, they haven't done anything well. They're 1-10, and I get that. But coordinators in this league, they watch what teams do against teams. Gradually, you figure out what's going to work against a team. Right now, in the last couple of weeks, stacking the box and blitzing against this team has worked. And you know what happens when that happens? Teams keep doing it until it doesn't work. So that's got to be the plan now. It's a chess match. What do you do to counteract that? Those are going to be the questions posed to Jed Fish today. And I'm sure he'll tell us exactly what he plans to do, JP, because I would.
Just throw it out there. Why not? Jaguars.com Live presented by Everbank. Blake Bortles press conference coming up. It's a little earlier today. Inclement weather in the forecast, so the Jags moved the walkthrough up a little earlier. Practice a little earlier, a little later today, too. Let's get to social media. Why not?
Let's do it.
At Eric Margolis 111. With a healthy lineup and a quarterback no longer a rookie, are the Jags a playoff contender for next year? Now, personally, I'm not really looking to next year yet.
Right.
I mean, there's still four games left.
Well, five. Yeah. We're in week 11, so
whatever.
Five, yeah. You know, and that's tough because a lot of people assume that in year three of a build, you should be contending for the playoffs. I'm not quite ready to put a 1-10 team in the playoff hunt next November. I don't doubt that they're going to be improved. And if you're improved, you can get to that 500 and then you're contending. You know, and I'm talking around it. I'm not ready to say they're going to be a playoff team next year. Although I do think with this offense, with these young guys, I believe you can make significant improvement between year one, year two as a player and as a group. So I think that gets them better. But playoffs, I'm not going to go on live internet TV, which is what we're on, and say playoffs for a 1-10 team quite yet.
You got to look at the camera and say that. It's and cherry pick a free agent here or there on offense and see if you can fill out a roster.
But I will say there's not, you know, things can get better from one year to the next, especially based on experience and guys figuring out. There's so much going on as rookies, and I know people get tired of us talking about the youth on this team, but it's so young offensively, and there's so many moving parts for Blake that it's not unreasonable to think that a huge jump can happen during an off season where you get a chance to figure out, okay, what went wrong? What can we do right? What can we add here? You know, it's just not a lost cause on that side of the ball after 11 games with a bunch of young guys.
Jaguars defense is really the strength of this club right now. I mean, they've kept the Jags in the game in Indianapolis a few times this year. They've done that. Defensive line is the most veteran group of the entire team, and they're showing that so far this year.
Well, and I got a question in the Ozone this week about Todd Walsh, and you say, hey, this guy is doing a great job. And Todd Walsh is doing a great job. I think he's going to be a head coach in the NFL someday, very possibly. But I think he'd be the first to tell you, hey, my position group, it should be doing well. I mean, this is the place where you have experienced veteran guys, where you have focused in the offseason, where you've got guys who aren't rookies and their heads aren't spinning. They're not looking around saying, what's this league all about? What am I expecting in week 12? They've seen how offenses are going to plan for them individually, and they know how to adapt to that. So it's the most experienced group. It's probably the only group that isn't heavily reliant on at least one second-year guy. One guy's still learning. So they're playing very, very well. They're the core of this team, and I think that's as you expect it.
And they might have a piece back this week, too. Andre Branch expected to practice today, which is great news for just even more depth.
Well, and it is striking that it's also a group that, aside from Andre, has not been hit with injuries. And it really hasn't even had a whole lot where there's a guy even dealing with it. Remember, Roy Miller last year was dealing with a shoulder all year and really couldn't get up to full speed. They've been remarkably healthy, and now to get Andre back, he's back a little quicker. When he first had that groin against Cleveland, the way he came off the field and what you heard later was, hey, it's going to be at least 6 weeks. Well, I think it's about a week earlier than that, and it sounds like he's about 2 weeks ahead of what would have been really realistic. So he's got five more games, had a very good start to the season, and again, he's a guy in his third year who can really continue to establish himself as maybe a core of this going forward.
Jaguars.com live presented by Everbank.
And we get to see the windmill, right? Is that, you know,
maybe we'll
see
it a lot.
Little bit of this. Sorry, go ahead.
We'll see it a lot. It'd be nice to see it a lot on Sunday against the Giants. The Jags are on the field right now for a walkthrough, and they'll be in shortly. Blake Bortles press conference coming up. But, you know, they practice outside Everbank Field all the time. They have the locker room inside, but they haven't been inside on the field here in over a month. And that's really kind of the hole in the schedule sometimes when you have London thrown in the equation.
Well, yeah, and that's the big thing. It's the reason coming out of London, we talked a couple of times about that team needs to learn to do well in London because it's going to be a home game, and you've got to take advantage of your home games. They haven't done well, and it's certainly the last two seasons, it has felt like a long time since they've been in Everbank Field after coming back from London, and it feels like a road game when you don't win it. So they've got to figure that out. They've figured out how to beat the Colts. They've figured out how to do some things. Winning in London so that this doesn't feel like this huge gap is also going to be very critical because it sounds like they're going to play there for a while.
It's also alumni weekend this Sunday. Over 50 former players from around the country are scheduled to be back. Of course, Tom Coughlin is back on the other sideline this week, and we'll bring up some memories for you, I'm sure.
Well, anytime Tom walks the rubber hallways here, it's an event. And, you know, I had the fortune to cover him 6 or 7 years when he first started out. And I got an email this week from somebody talking about, he sort of helped define the franchise in the early years. he defined the franchise in the early years. He was a powerful presence, and you didn't walk this building without knowing Tom Coughlin was in the building, and any success they had was purely him. I mean, not purely him, but he deserves a lot of credit for when you look back was a very remarkable era for this franchise.
And it's some issues in New York right now. They've lost a handful of games in a row now. They're 3-8 on this, I think, seven right. straight losses since they started 3-2. A little bit of a hot seat there for him, but he has thrived under that kind of a hot seat in that environment before.
Well, he always has. The 2 years that he won the Super Bowl up there, there was talk early in the season about his job security. Yeah. So I think he's past the point where he worries a whole lot on a day-to-day basis about that. His legacy's established, but also knowing him, you know that all the fanfare, and I expect a very warm welcome for him on Sunday. But all of that, for him, his strength was always the day-to-day grind and the detail of it and being able to just focus on the now. So he'll take a moment. He's not the Iceman. He'll feel it when fans say hello to him, when they cheer him. But obviously he'll be focused on the game on Sunday, even though they look like they're out of the playoffs. So
I asked him the other day on radio, for a radio interview for Jaguars Monday, I said, you know, it must be nice, you know, I have a home here, you're back every once in a while, but he's like, the last time I was there, we got our rear ends kicked. It was a Monday night football game. It was like 26
right.
to 10.
Right.
So that wasn't a happy return last time for him.
Did he say, hey? Did he say, hey, how's John?
No, he didn't.
I didn't expect that.
He might do that on Sunday.
He might do that.
He might do that on the conference call a little later, I'm sure.
He might. As well, he might.
That's coming up. Jaguars.com Live, presented by EverBank, J.P. Shadrick, John Osier. We're awaiting the Blake Bortles press conference. It was moved back a little bit today, or moved earlier, and we're going in there shortly whenever the Jags get off of the practice field today. All right, so five games left.
Mm-hmm.
Young is no longer young at what point?
Well, for fans, it was no longer young in September. For reality, I think you're no longer young until your second year. But so I don't think you're going to see in the last five games all of a sudden just a mammoth jump where you say, wow, these guys have experience now. Wow, these guys get it. Wow, the light comes on. It might come on in spots, but it usually takes for a young guy. If you notice, when people talk about the jump, they rarely talk about the jump from week 8 to week 13 of the rookie season. They talk about the jump from year 1 to year 2.
That's right.
Because the players are able to get away for 5 or 6 weeks and they sit there and, you know, as anybody in life, you sort of absorb what went on, you have time to reflect, and then when they come back in March or April and they pass Thomas Linsky in the hallway or they pass their position coach in the hallway, they can't talk football yet, but then once they get there in April and the coach starts talking to them, all of a sudden things have slowed down a little bit. They're not as worried about trying to impress this guy. They're worried about what he's saying. And the coach can say, hey, on this route when you were doing this, you got to cut it off a step quicker. And all of a sudden you go out on the field and they're cutting it off a step quicker instead of just not hearing it. So that's what you get when it's just like when you're in your freshman year of high school, your freshman year of college, your first year on a job, things are moving fast and it's tough to be as good as you're going to be in your second or third year. Happens for these guys too. So that's why I don't think you're going to see a incredible difference in cohesion, all the things that have been sort of holding them back, but you can see improvement. And I think what you want to see more than anything, Blake Bortles remains the storyline. You want to see some improvement from him, and you want to see a little more calmness and a little more. Gus Bradley talked about not playing with fear.
Right.
He still needs to balance a little better that line between interceptions, taking a chance. He needs to get better in that area.
I improved a lot of ways from my freshman to sophomore year in college.
I improved a lot of ways just sitting here with you today, JP.
Let's go to the South locker room. Blake Bortles speaking with the media on a Wednesday.
Diggs is there. All right, guys.
Hey, Blake, do you rock? We'll start with you.
All right.
All right.
Chance to look back in the tape, obviously, was it as bad as the offense performed as bad as, you know, first indication?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't great. You know, obviously putting up 3 points isn't, you know, a stellar outing. But there was some good stuff. There was things to learn from. There was things we did well, we didn't do well. You know, it was hard. We never really got in a rhythm, never got in a flow into things. The second half, you know, kind of killed ourselves playing from behind the chains and getting in some long yardage situations, which makes it difficult and, you know, can kill you. So, you know, that was part of it. So, you know, we'll continue to learn from it and grow and, you know, progress.
Gus was pretty honest, I guess, on Monday about your play. He can play better. We expect more. I assume you agree with that?
Yeah. You know, I think, you know, that's pretty obvious that I can do better and do more. And you know, my efforts to contributing to helping this team be successful.
He said the decision-making needs to be a little quicker. Are you missing a lot of stuff?
You know, I don't know. I think that I think there's you know, things that definitely could happen quicker. There's things that I'm looking at that I could probably get off of quicker and, you know, I guess make a quicker decision. So, I mean, that's all part of it. It's all part of getting reps and continuing to learn from it.
So is there an element of maybe overthinking a little bit on your part? Just, you know, especially because they're talking about be careful, no interceptions,
right,
and turnovers.
Yeah, I think that's part of it. You know, I think you want to go play, and I know I want to and feel like I'm playing my best when I'm playing, you know, carefree, having fun, running around, and not thinking a whole lot. So I think just trying to get back to that, trying to kind of eliminate some thinking, and all that, you know, comes with preparation during the week and making sure that on Sunday you can go play carefree.
This coaching staff has always raved about your ability to bounce back from mistakes and have confidence in yourself. Do you still feel confident in yourself? Has that taken a hit at all?
No, not at all. I mean, I feel the same now that, you know, I've kind of felt throughout my whole career, and nothing's really changed there.
If you guys went up-tempo, would that help you get into a rhythm as an offense and personally?
You know, I think it's part of who we are and what we do is tempo and no huddle and doing that. And, you know, I think, you know, throughout the season, you've seen when we've done that, we've been successful at it. So, you know, I think that'll continue to be a part of the game plan and something that we'll try and implement. And I know our guys like doing that. They like going fast. They like being aggressive. And, you know, I'm sure that's something that, that we'll see, you know, how the week goes, how the game goes, and, where we can use it.
Is it tough to battle the mental part of it for you? I mean, obviously you've excelled in athletics your entire life, and so here you are, and now that here's an offense that's not doing what you want to do. Is that the hardest part for you? Any young quarterback?
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I think there's a lot of guys that have struggled with it, and I mean, it's ruined guys' careers by starting, you know, young and not doing well. You know, I kind of take it as an opportunity to say, okay, we're not doing well. Watch how I can handle this and bounce back and continue to grow from it. So, I mean, I think that's how I look at it. You know, I know that's how Gus looks at it, and it's kind of, you know, the environment and message that we're given. So, you know, I wouldn't say that at all.
And I know that there's a million reasons why, but the Blake Bortles we were watching earlier this season, even in the preseason, you know, going down the field, and that's what the fans always ask. You know, why aren't we going down the field more? Why aren't the Jags going down the field? What would you respond to that?
You know, I think it's been tough, you know, especially last game. You're getting back to, I mean, you're getting a 3rd and 21. You're not going to throw the ball down the field because that's, you know, it'll be a pick. So, you know, I think kind of the way the flow of the game's been going hasn't really allowed us to do some of that stuff. Some of it has been, you know, there's shots and there's plays there. And we haven't been able to get the ball out there or down the field for one reason or another. And it's on everybody. And, you know, it's definitely kind of a point of emphasis that you know, we want to get back to throwing the ball down the field and moving it.
Do you still feel like you're making progress?
There you have it. The Wednesday comments of Jaguars quarterback Blake Bortles. Jaguars.com live presented by EverBank rolls along with a guy that Bortles throws to a lot. Marquise Lee is with us. What's going on? How are you, man?
How's everything? I'm doing good.
Good to see you. Happy Thanksgiving to you. Happy belated birthday, too, by
appreciate
the way.
Appreciate
it.
How
old are you now, by the way?
23.
23.
Yeah.
Young years old for the rookie out of Southern Cal. Let's start with the quarterback. We just heard from Blake Bortles. Where's his head right now, do you think?
I think he's in the right path. You know, I think, you know, Blake's main focus is just finishing out strong. You know, I think throughout the year, throughout this year, I think he did a great job as far as, you know, being a rookie, you know, not being a person who really talks, you know, Blake more laid back, you know, type person. But now, you know, he is in the huddle speaking up, when we down, you know, trying to motivate us, you know, to keep it going. So, I mean, becoming that leader that we looking for as far as, you know, as offense.
Marquise, you get more of a role now with Allen Robinson out. They've kind of put you in there in more of a role to play a lot more now. Obviously, last week you had the nice gain down to the 1 yard line, but in general, are you ready for this? Are you ready for this kind of challenge here?
Yeah. I mean, this, you know, it's something that everybody looks forward to, you know, who plays football. You know, having the opportunity to be back on the field, you know, without worrying about injuries, is big. You know, starting to feel comfortable, you know, I can honestly say. So, I'm just ready to go back out there next week and just get it going.
That was the thing earlier. You were banged up a lot. You had the hamstrings, this and that. That's all past you now, right?
Yeah, that's all past me. I had the hamstrings and the foot. So, you know, I'm still treating it, though. You know, the treatment been working, so my main focus is continue to do the treatment so, you know, I can maintain and finish throughout this season. And then we really figure out, you know, how I can fix that in the offseason.
Marquise Lee's with us. Marquise, this is the time of year where a lot of rookies hit the wall. You know, like it's the end of the college season. They're not used to this kind of grind. The whole preseason draft buildup. There's really no break for a lot of rookies. Do you feel that? I mean, there's so many rookies around. Is that a thing?
I'm not too much big on it as far as rookie wall, but I mean, it's there. I can honestly say because it gets to a sense to where, you know, You say you damn hit the wall, but then you realize your body is a little bit more tired than what it was. Then after that college season, you know. But I think it's a positive thing now, you know, because it teaches you how to take care of your body. Mm-hmm. You know, you're gonna run into a lot of issues where, you know, your body's gonna be knick-knacked and, you know, tired out. So I mean, having the ability to go through this first year, you know, and see how long the season is, gonna prepare me for, you know, next year, and just have me ready and had that mindset of really knowing how long the season is. You know, coming from college, a lot of people say, you know, the season is very long until you actually experience it, then you realize.
Let's go to social media. You're a social guy, right? You have Twitter and all that, right?
Let's go there
right now. @Justin_Miller0, what are your goals the rest of the season? Do you have personal goals that you want to get to, or do you do that?
I mean, I try to set goals, but I set some goals, I should say. I don't try to set too many. I feel like you set goals for yourself. It's kind of limit what you can do. I like leaving it out in the open so I can just not necessarily. I feel like when you put a goal out there as far as I want to get this amount of yards, you know, it's just a set, you know, to where it's like if you leave it open, you know, you can go beyond that. And that's how I look at it. But, I mean, as far as it goes for the rest of the game, I mean, rest of these games is it's just being reliable. I mean, that's the main thing I preach on is being reliable. I mean, that's just being there and being ready when the opportunity comes, the ball coming your way. You got to make an important block. You just got to know your assignment to be a decoy, you know, things like that. That's being reliable, and that's my main focus is whatever the coach called, just being able to go out there and execute it.
Marquise, last couple questions. I know you got a lot to get to today. Giants coming in. Before we get to their defense, how about Odell Beckham? I know you guys came through the draft process together. Are you close to him? Or
yeah, I talked to Odell a good amount, especially through the process of the combine and things like that. I always knew he was a great player because I watched him in college along with Jarvis. So them two together was, you know, a great tangent. But, yeah, that's all you can say is, Odell type person who like to work hard. You know, he works hard and he works on, for what you can see, all types of crafts of his game. And that one hand catch was amazing. You know, shocking for me, not necessarily because I witnessed it in college. You know, he did a lot of nice one hand on kickoff return in college and things like that. So I applaud him. He's doing an amazing job, and I know he's going to continue to do amazing. And that's really about it.
Hopefully not this week, I guess, right?
Hopefully not this week. I'm pretty confident our defense as far as, you know, playing the right game plan to get everything shut down.
On this Giants defense, though, what do you know about them? And they're not like the big horses they were up front a few years ago, the pass rushers and all that. It's changed a little bit there, but what do they do well in defense?
It changed, but not much.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, Jason Pierre-Paul, they still got a lot of great players up front. Yeah. You know, but I mean, you know, our mindset is offense, you know, just execute. It's easy to say, you know, but pretty much hard to do. But I mean, especially with the type of players they got on their defense. But I mean, if we go in, you know, just confident at the end of the day, you know, make sure we get utilized as much time we can, you know, during this practice so we can get everything down packed as far as nothing is new to us. Don't get caught in a situation where, this is new to us and, you know, we didn't know how to block it or we didn't know what to run on this thing. Just be fully prepared. And I think if we come in fully prepared, it'd be a great game.
It's nice to be back home, isn't it? Man, first time in over a month here.
You never lied. I'm telling you, for me being from California, you know, I never thought I'd say, dang, you know, it feels so great to be back in Jacksonville. You know, being from California, you know, and coming from that London trip, you know, just being away for so long from your own home and having another away game and things like that, then going on a bye, like, it's feel good to be back in Jacksonville. I can honestly say I'm so happy to see this place. I'm not even going to lie to you. And you know, I'm still happy to be here.
We're happy you're here. Thanks for your time today.
Appreciate it.
Marquise Lee joining us on Jaguars.com Live, presented by EverBank. Then download the Jaguars official app for the latest news, videos, photos, and more. And during the game, receive special offers, live news, and scoring updates. The Jaguars app available in the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store right now. Final moments of Jaguars.com Live, presented by EverBank. Our thanks to Marquise Lee. John Osia was with us earlier. You heard Blake Bortles, his weekly Wednesday press conference in the South locker room. Locker room's open now. Practice moved a little bit earlier today. There's some inclement weather, of course, in Jacksonville, if you haven't noticed the last couple of days. So they're trying to get practice in today, get it done a little earlier than normal. And then Gus Bradley will speak to the media. Jed Fish and Bob Babbage, both coordinators, will talk to the media today. Of course, Babbage normally goes on Thursday, but tomorrow is Thanksgiving. So the coordinators will get done today. We'll have those archived a little later on Jaguars.com. And, of course, regular workday tomorrow, just a little bit earlier, a normal Friday schedule on a Thursday for the Jaguars on Thanksgiving. We'll have all the post-practice coverage both today and tomorrow and certainly Friday before the Jags get ready for the New York Giants this Sunday at EverBank Field. That'll do it. Our thanks to everyone involved. Thanks to you for watching today. This is JP Shadrick on Jaguars.com Live, presented by EverBank.